according to Matthew, and we'll read at chapter 2. Now that should be very easy to find. Sometimes, you know, if you read from some of the minor prophets, it takes some folks a long time to find them. But Matthew is very easy to find. Chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of the scriptures. Let us bow for prayer. Now, I'm not going to offer any apologies or make any excuses, but the message I'm going to bring to you now is not what I intended bringing. I had another sermon all prepared, but my mind, for certain reasons, has been completely changed. And I trust that what we'll say this morning will be the message that the Lord wants. When you read down through Matthew chapter 2, there are some outstanding things to be noted. The first one is the one that will take up most of our attention this morning. I like to term it the wisdom of the wise men. But there's another thing that you can learn from reading down through this chapter. It's the worthlessness of lifeless theologians. It's possible to be a theologian and be lifeless. There's a lot of them a few miles from here in a place called Wake Forest. Great number of them, but lifeless. You know it, I know it. A lot of other places are very same. the worthlessness of lifeless theologians who don't know Christ. We also learn, as we read down through this chapter, the wickedness of Herod the enemy. There's another little thing that might interest the ladies here this morning, something you seldom hear about. It was the weeping of the mothers for their children. Another great truth in this chapter is the warnings that God gave to the wise men and also to Joseph. Now let us think for a little while on the first one, the wisdom of the wise men. I suggest to you that the wisdom of the wise men can be seen, first of all, in their saying. These wise men came saying. You watch what they said. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." There's a tremendous amount of solid truth in what they said, as we'll see in a moment or two. So we learn something about their wisdom from what they said, the saying of the wise men. We also learn something about their wisdom in the search that they made. They were searching for the one who was born king. Now, he wasn't born to be a king. He was born a king. And then we learn something more about their wisdom by the service that they rendered. Now, in these days in which we live, people like to think that they have a good measure of wisdom. Now, I'm going to admit this. The present generation that's growing up has an awful lot more knowledge than us old folks have. Perhaps you don't admit that, but I do. And I'm older than some of you. Not as old as Mr. Cooper and all that. He always keeps in front of me. Yeah? I've been trying to catch him up for a long time, but when I have a birthday, he always has one. He keeps away in the front. But we've got to admit that we're living in a day when of generations growing up, they have an awful lot of knowledge. They know things that we don't know. Of course, a lot of things we can do, they can't do. They're not prepared to admit that. I get to some of those young folks sometimes, and they're all tied up with their algebra. They don't know how to do it. And I look at them and say, "Well, the answer is such and such." But then, how do you work it out? I said, "They're up in here, that's all. Just work it out, and there's the answer." And they've got to take about six lines to get that answer. I don't know what's gone wrong. There's some things we can do in a different way from them, but they're getting an awful lot of knowledge about other things. These, you know, you press the button now and on it comes, it tells you on the screen, they press another button, and there it is. And they're learning how to do those press buttons now, and there's the answer. These computers have got me baffled. And then speed. You know, we're living in the age of speed. They've got speed for everything now. They've even got speed writing, and you can't read what it is. I wish they would learn just how to write properly. You could read it. But they're learning, and they've got an awful lot of knowledge. But I'm not so sure that they've got any more wisdom. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. The more knowledge you have, the more wisdom you need to know how to use your knowledge. But here were men who were wise men. It says, there came wise men at the time when Jesus was born, in these days. This chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now it's a good thing when you're able to listen to wise men. I've heard of people who stood, little fellows who stood and listened to men, and you've done it. I did it in my day, and I thought these fellows must have been wise men. You know the way they talked. But as you grow a little older, you discover they weren't so wise. You thought they were. But it's good if you can listen to wise men and gain something from lending an ear to what wise men have to say. Now listen to what these wise men said. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You say, well, there's nothing profound about that. That's simple language, yes. Simple language, but profound truth. You know, sometimes people can take a very simple thing and they can express it in great flowing language, profound language. But in the final analysis, there's nothing to it. You know, children used to learn little nursery rhymes. It's easy. This is the house that Jack built. Everybody knows that. This is the malt that lay in the house that Jack built. But suppose you were to start and say to that child, this is a domicile that was erected by John. And this is the fermented agricultural produce that was deposited in the domicile that was erected by John. They would sit and look at you. They wouldn't understand a word you were saying. Wouldn't it be easier to say, this is the house that Jack built? And this is the malt that lay in the house that Jack built? It's the same thing, but in simpler language. When you come to this particular verse, I want you to notice some of the profound doctrinal truth underlying the simple language of these wise men. Where is he that is born? Simple, you understand it. But now look. You and I were born. And when we were born, here we were seen. Somebody looked upon us as a new little bundle of humanity. If you hadn't been born, you wouldn't have been here today. The fact that you're here as a human being tells each of us there was a time when you were born. Perhaps it's been longer than you like to think, but there was a time when you were born. Where is he that is born? You see, the profound truth behind that statement is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born as a human person. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh. I sometimes try to come to grips with this, that there in that little cattle shed, that little cave at Bethlehem, that child was born. They didn't have a fancy crib like what some of your children have now. That little babe was laid in the straw, wrapped in swaddling bands, laid in a manger. But suppose we had gone there with the shepherds that night, and we looked upon the babe that was born. How could we understand? How could we unravel the great mystery that that babe born in time was the Ancient of Days, the Eternal Son of the Eternal God? As a son he was given. As a child he was born. And the Old Testament prophecy said the government would be upon his shoulder. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? Tis the Lord, oh wondrous story, tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet will humbly fall. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all. How the eternal God, the Creator, the upholder of all things by the word of his power, could compress himself into the womb of the Virgin, I cannot explain nor understand, but I believe what the Bible says. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's him. Where is he that is born? We must come to grips with the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a man amongst men. But they said, where is he that is born king? Now, as I have already emphasized, he wasn't born in order to become a king. He was born a king. You see, I like to try and illustrate this great truth by speaking of the one today who's called the Prince of Wales, Prince Charles. He's now 39 years of age. I always remember his birthday. Not that I send him a card or anything like that, but I do remember it was the 14th of November, because it's the same date of the month as our own daughter, but she's 3 years older than him. They chose our date, but it was 3 years after us. 14th of November, he's 39 years of age. He was a prince when he was born. He was born a prince, a member of the royal family. Then they gave him the title Prince of Wales. He's got a lot of other titles, and for every title he gets another allowance, you know. But someday he might become king, who knows. If his mother was to die, then automatically he becomes king. They would say the queen is dead, long live the king. And then he would be declared, there'd be a proclamation made. And he may become the king of Britain, he may, but he may not, he may not. He's a prince, and he may become a king. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, where is he that is born king? He wasn't born to be a king. He was born king. You say, well, how was that? Because if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll discover this. When the children of Israel, that nation, asked for a king, you'll remember how they did it. They asked that old man Samuel. They said, no, we want a king. And poor Samuel began to weep. And he took it before the Lord, and he says, Lord, they're not satisfied with me. They've rejected me. God gave his answer to Samuel. He says, no, Samuel, it's not you they've rejected. It's me. But we'll let them have their way. We'll let them have their king. And they chose their king. And they chose a man by the name of Saul, who came of the tribe of Benjamin. But he wasn't God's choice. He was their choice. That's what they did under what you call democracy. People's choice. And the people's choice is usually a wrong choice. Gets them in an awful lot of trouble. And that man reigned over them for 40 years. They couldn't vote him out. They might have put him out long before that. He reigned over them for 40 years, was an absolute failure, and died a suicide. turned away from God. God says, now you've had your 40 years, I'll give you my choice. He gave them David. David, the man after God's own heart. David, who came from the tribe of Judah. And David occupied the throne, and he reigned for 40 years. And God made a pledge to David that David's throne would be established forever. Now, if you're going to have that throne established forever, you'll require an everlasting king to sit on an everlasting throne. Yes. When you follow through the history of the royal line, and you follow it through from David to Solomon, and you come down until you come to a man who was reigning, who took the word of God and he cut it up with a penknife and rejected the word. God rejected that man. And there was none to sit upon the throne. The nation was taken into captivity. And they've never had a king since, except a puppet king. And you read it from here at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. There was a king reigning there by the name of Herod, but he was not an Israelite. He was an Edomite, a descendant of Esau. And he was reigning there because that the Romans had put him in power. He was a puppet king, no right to be reigning. And when Christ was born, he was born not to be a king. He was the rightful claimant to the throne. He had the legal claim through Joseph, right back to Solomon. He had the moral claim because he was born in holiness, born of the Virgin. Where is he that is born king? He was born then. That's the reason we often sing, Jesus shall reign. Where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Where is he that is born king? There comes a day when, or there will come a day when, he will be acclaimed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Of course, we were singing this morning already, beautiful hymn, King of my life, I'll crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. You can make him king now. Where is he that is born king? King of the Jews. If he's born, that tells of his humanity. If he's born king, that tells of his royalty. If he's born king of the Jews, that tells of his nationality. You know, the Jews have been a despised people. They've been a persecuted people. Of course, I know quite well that they've brought an awful lot of it on themselves, and they're going to bring more on themselves, we must face it. But nevertheless, they've been a wonderful nation. A remarkable nation. You think they were without a land, without a king, without a leader, scattered and peeled amongst the nations for over 1900 years, and yet they survived as a nation. And today they're back in the land, and they're building and building, making progress. Remarkable people. And you know, if you've got to thank them for nothing else, you've got to thank them for the fact these are the people that God used to give us this book we call the Bible, the Old Testament, and really the New Testament as well. The only writer of the books of the Bible perhaps that was not a Jew was Dr. Luke, the man who wrote the Gospel according to Luke and the Acts of the Apostles. And even then there's a question mark. Although I think most people will admit they think he was a Greek. Otherwise we've got to hand it out to a nation that's been despised and rejected From amongst them, men were taken by God to write this beautiful book we call the Bible. Where is he that is born King, King of the Jews? But what did they say? When Pilate said to them, what shall I then do with Jesus? What shall I do with your king? They said, we have no king but Caesar. Well, what shall I do with Jesus, who's called it? Let him be crucified. And yonder over the cross, there was written this, called an accusation. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And they went to Pilate and they said, now look, you'll have to change that. Right up there, who said, I am King of the Jews? Said Pilate, what I have written, I have written. What was written over the cross was written in the book of the records and could not be changed. Written in three languages, written in Latin, Greek and Hebrew. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? It tells of his nationality. But they said, we have come to worship him. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I hope I don't upset any of you here this morning. But when I say this, when the wise men went into the house, they found a young child there with Mary, his mother. But they didn't fall down and worship her, like some folks today. They worshipped him. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. It tells of his deity. You see then why I say that we see the wisdom expressed in their saying. Simple words, but oh, how profound in truth. Where is he that is born? I face the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, God manifest in flesh. Where is he that is born King? I acknowledge his royalty. He came of the royal line of David. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? I acknowledge his nationality. Come to worship him. We bow to his deity. God of very God. One of the triune God, the eternal Son of the eternal God, the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how much then is enfolded in the saying of the wise men. Think for a moment or two of the wisdom expressed in yourself. This search began or commenced with seeing the phenomena of a star. And then it continued with the prophecies of the scriptures. Star first led them to the scriptures. And then it concluded with finding the person of the sovereign. May I ask each of you this morning, what is your search in life? What are you searching for? Oh, every person has a search of some kind. You're all searching for something. Something you're grasping after, something you want in life. What is your search? Now, here were men, first of all, and they were studying something pertaining to God's creation. Now, I've never been a stargazer, but I think it must be a wonderful occupation. I was reading an article there in that paper they call the News and Observer or the News and Disturber, whichever way you look at it. I don't pay for it. I get it for nothing. Somebody pays for it for me as a Christmas present, and it's delivered to me 6 mornings in the week. That's why I get it. There's no better one to get. That's the one to get. I wish there was a better one, but there was an article this week in the News and Observer, and if you get the News and Observer, look back over, and perhaps you'll find it. I thought it was a most remarkable article. It had to do with stars. Me, I started reading. A man out in Hawaii who has been spending time looking through those wonderful telescopes, scanning the heavens above, he has made statements now to the other astronomers, telling them that so far as the galaxies of stars are concerned, there must be hundreds upon hundreds of galaxies of stars. Not just one galaxy, not just our galaxy, but hundreds upon hundreds of galaxies of stars. And in each galaxy there will be perhaps thousands upon thousands of stars. And he's saying now that there may be as many more again beyond the reach of the telescope. There was a time, you know, when some of these men thought that this little planet on which we live, that this was it. And everything else had to revolve around our little Earth. Until they discovered that wasn't it at all. But our little Earth was only one of the little planets, one of the little satellites. That the sun is the center of our galaxy. It's a tremendous thing how they don't bump into each other. Well, they can't even put airplanes up now, but they're bumping into each other up there in the sky. Missing each other by a few feet and so on. There seems to me to be plenty of room. I can understand cars rubbing against each other on the highways, but I wonder what they're doing up there. There's plenty of room for them. But they're bumping into each other out there. But God has had those myriads of stars up there, and it just says He made the stars also. But here now they're discovering there are thousands upon thousands of galaxies of stars. He made the stars also. Simple, isn't it? Men don't know where they came from. That's the trouble. If you read your Bible, you'll know where they came from. God put them there. And the strange thing is, God knows every one of them. How great is our God. He knows, He numbers them, He knows every one of them. He can name them or number them. Well, these men were studying God's masterful creation. They saw stars. And they knew it had a message. Might I say this? Any person who's going to take time to study God's wonderful creation, whether it be this earth on which we live, with all its little minute pieces of life, or to get the telescope and view the heavens above, any person that spends time doing like that, and then to have the audacity to say there's no God, that man's a fool. A fool. Have you ever looked at a watch? It intrigues me. I could take a watch to pieces, but don't ask me to put it up again. I've tried it before and I've always some left. I don't know where they go. And it doesn't go after. You watch those watches. The main objective of a watch is to tell the time. But then you have three hands on it, and one goes round every minute, goes right, every 60 seconds it goes round. You have another one, and it goes round every hour, you know. And then you have another one there that goes round every 12 hours. They're all right. Then you try to get in the back of the thing, and you see all those little wheels. They're all different sizes. And they don't always go in the same direction. One's going one way, one's going another. I don't understand it. Perhaps you do. I don't. But this wonderful little thing. Now, if you were to say to me, well, it's a strange thing, all the little wheels, you know, they were lying on a dish one day and they all suddenly decided to get together and start working like this. Yeah, well, you wouldn't convince me of that. I'd say, no, no, there must have been a mastermind behind this. He knew what he was doing when he put them together. And when you see the marvels of God's creation, you must come to the conclusion there's a God. I must my God. They followed the stars, the guiding star. But it brought them to the brook. And if you don't get to the brook, you'll never get to Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, this brook has to do with him. And they came to Jerusalem. First of all, they went to the wrong place, of course. But then even Herod, a king, didn't know. And he thought to gather together the men who were supposed to know. Sent a long word to the seminary. He would just been as well send him to the cemetery, but he sent to the seminary. And he got those wiseacres along there, those theologians. They said, oh yes, we know. Look, according to the Bible, he's to be born in Bethlehem. According to Micah. That's what Micah said. You're born in Bethlehem. Thou Bethlehem, you may be small, but it's out of thee he'll come forth. The king, the Messiah, will be born in Bethlehem. Herod didn't know that. But these men, they knew it. But look, I said, oh, the worthlessness of lifeless theologians. They knew the letter of the word, but they never took one step to go to Bethlehem to see the one that was born. Never made any move to come into contact with the Christ that had been born at Bethlehem. See, my friend, it's possible for you to study the Bible. It's possible for you to attend a church service. It's possible for you to learn all the language and yet never come to grips with Christ. If you're going to read your Bible, if you're going to study the Bible, it should bring you to Christ. Here's what he himself did with two people on the road to Emmaus. Beginning at Moses, and in all the scriptures, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. And in all our reading, and in all our preaching, we must get to Christ. Do you know him? Oh, we've come in here that time of the year when you'll see all these silly things. I guess 2 years ago now since I saw this, it just made my blood boil. You know, people go and buy all those silly little things that they're selling. They call them manger scenes, you know, manger scenes. And I saw this one where they had Santa Claus kneeling down at the manger. And people buy, isn't it wonderful? Santa Claus at the manger. My friend, it's Christ we need, not a Santa Claus. We need not only to know about Christ. These lifeless theologians knew where he should be born, but they didn't know him, and they never went to see him. Herod himself tried to kill him, wanted to get rid of him. They went. After they heard from the men concerning where he should be born, that led them to the right place, led them to the right person, and there they found the person of the sovereign himself. They found Christ. And they kneeled down and they worshipped him. Watch the wisdom in the service they rendered. The first thing they did, they gave themselves. Wise men, kneeling down before the Christ of God, taking the humble place, acknowledging his sovereignty. Let me ask you, my friend, has there ever been a time in your life when you have yielded yourself to Christ? You say, well, don't you realize, Neil, that I've been a good giver all my life? I've given to all the charitable things that I know of. When they come to my door collecting, I just give them this and I give them that. And I always give my tenth and I do. I'm not asking how much you've given to charities, my friend. I'm asking, have you given yourself to Christ? It's you he wants. Was there a time when you yielded to him? When you gave yourself, spirit, soul, and body, take me as I am. Oh, take me as I am. My only plea, Christ died for me. Just take me as I am. They gave themselves. And after they'd given themselves, they gave their talents, their treasures, gold, frankincense, the things they had brought, the things they possessed. It was then, after they gave themselves, they opened up their treasures to him. And they gave him their trust, being warned of God. They didn't go and betray him to the enemy. They didn't act the part of Judas. They gave him the trust. And I like this, what the Bible says. They returned home another way. Friend, you know, after you come to know the Savior, life's never the same. You'll walk another way. A new walk. As we close, may I beg of you, my friend, at this time of the year, when men's thoughts are being turned towards this again, Christ was born, will you consider the wisdom of the wise men? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We have come to worship him. Will you trust him? Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We thank thee for thy kindness to us, the grace and the mercy that allows us to meet like this in peace and in quietness. Now we pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt speak to every heart. May some knee be bent today. May some heart be unburdened today. And in true repentance, may some poor sinner trust the Savior. We ask these things now, giving thanks in his worthy name. Amen.